Seth Joyner from yesterday's show.
It's almost like the league wants to see these guys become stars. Not that, you know, I don't want to see them become stars, but I thought that when you made the Pro Bowl, you made the Pro Bowl because you were the best person at that position. And you cannot tell me, even though, you know, San Diego's had a great run, they've had a great run because LaDainian Tomlinson has made it very easy for Phillip Rivers to make this transition. When you run the ball, the way that he's running the ball, it's very easy to play the position of quarterback.
Seth Joyner, Larry Weisman. One more comment about Phillip Rivers. No question that he's done a great job. No question that as a young quarterback, he's done extremely well. No question that he doesn't deserve to be recognized for that. But do you really think he deserved to be there ahead of Tom Brady?
That kind of year, and I would say that when the Chargers lost early in the season in Baltimore, when Marty Schottenheimer showed at that point he was afraid to let Phillip Rivers try and win a game, the Chargers were angry. And the coaching change. Rivers has had a terrific year. Not every game, certainly being a great one. But the part of that argument that I reject is that when you look at the top quarterbacks or guys who are making the Pro Bowl, they all have a good running back. Certainly not a LaDainian Tomlinson, but every quarterback's success is almost always going to be predicated on some balance in the offense and the ability of in that scheme to make people think run first or draw a safety up and open up things downfield. And Tony Romo makes it from the Dallas Cowboys. Did I miss something, or do they have two terrific running backs?
Yeah, well, I just find it amazing that perhaps a guy that will go down in history as one of the top two or three quarterbacks is left off. But then again, that's part of the notion of any sort of voting situation. Who are people that you do truly believe should be on the Pro Bowl team that did not make it this year?
Well, I think one of the more egregious absences was Trevor Price off the Baltimore Ravens. He's just had an outstanding season. He's got about 12 sacks. He's really energized that front defensive line and given them just one more presence up front. But, you know, my understanding was that Price was not a popular guy when he was in Denver's locker room years ago, and I would tend to think maybe he didn't get any player votes from the Broncos side, and that would hurt him.
What about Warren Sapp on a 2-12 Raiders team? Do you think he deserves to make it?
Well, I don't know. He had a better year than he had last year. I've only seen the Raiders play once, and you know, they've been so vulnerable to the run. I mean, people talk about them having the Raiders having a very good pass defense, and they do play the pass fairly well, but they generally don't have to play it as often as you'd think because people just run on them. And when you run on teams, where do you run? You run up the middle.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's switch subjects to the interesting notion of the PR challenge for head coaches. A lot of head coaches take that head coaching position because they're good at X's and O's, and they find out very quickly that so much of that position is handling the press, is not only handling the press one-on-one, but also helping their players deal with it so they don't subvert or distract them from the task at hand. Let's talk about Jim Mora. He's quoted in today's ESPN website, says, "I've said things that have been inflammatory in the past, and immediately I've gotten a pit in my stomach. I never felt this way with this interview because I felt like it was all fun and banter. It took me a while to realize that people were taking this seriously." Most people, what do you think it is? 99% think that this was a serious statement by him?
I think that there are people who believe that Jim Mora is trying to get fired or to make it look like he got fired for things other than his handling of the Falcons football team. I think it's going to be pretty hard for him to keep his job if that team doesn't make the playoffs. They have an impatient owner. He's not going to tolerate two seasons in a row out of the playoffs. And I think if it comes to them asking him to, you know, make a human sacrifice to put the offensive coordinator Greg Knapp on the altar and get him in the night of long knives, that would be enough to precipitate a change on the spot. So I think that, you know, Jim Mora is looking for ways of saving face here in what's, you know, not been a great situation.
Do you think he deserves to stay, just based on the team's performance?
I don't know that the Falcons would get better by making a big change. This is the guy they identified. This is the guy they went and hired when Lovie Smith was available. And, you know, this was basically Rich McKay's hire. And if he's got confidence that this guy is really going to be an effective coach, then you ought to stay the course. They had a good year the first time around, not so much the last two. they really have to figure out how to not only coach Michael Vick, but to make sure that he understands the coaching and plays in a scheme that suits his skills.
It's almost as if, though, when you make a mistake like this, it's just a matter of time. The clock is ticking for Jim Mora.
Yeah, I would think so. This is one incident, but there have been others. There's been times that he kind of snapped at the media. There have been times that, you know, I've heard that there have been some very nasty internal discussions where he's just gone after guys in the public relations department and blamed them for things that probably really weren't their fault. So, you know, you like the guy who's effectively your CEO of football operations to be stable, grounded, at least somewhat facile with the media, and able to maintain command and control, and I'm not so sure he's having success on all those fronts.
Well, we're joined by Tim Brown. I thought that we'd turn the discussion away from the Pro Bowl and focus on one of the great stories of this season, which is the rise, the accelerated rise of Vince Young. And Tim, we're joined also by Larry Weissman from USA Today. Thanks for joining us in your very busy schedule, buddy.
No problem, man. No problem.
When you look at the experience you had, Tim Brown, with the Raiders and the kind of leadership you had at quarterback, everybody is saying that a running quarterback, whether it's Michael Vick or even Jeff Garcia, creates different things. But Vince Young is a totally different package to me. His size, his confidence. Tell me about Vince Young and what is different about him, not just the usual cliche that he's a running quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that's really different about this kid is the fact that he is a leader, and I know you've heard that about, you know, this guy, that guy, but, you know, when they came back and beat Houston, and I know it's Houston, but still, for them to come back and beat Houston the way they did, you know, you hear the players in the locker room say, this guy looked us in the eyes, you know, before that last drive and was asking who wants it, you know, and talking to the players like that. Well, that's not something that you hear a rookie quarterback say, you know, that's not something that you hear a guy who's supposed to be green at that position step into a huddle and say, but this is a guy who loves those type situations, who loves to have the ball in his hands when everything is on the line. And, you know, and I've been saying on our show that, you know, I have not seen a rookie quarterback ever come into the league since I've been following the ball anyway and do the same things he did in college and is to do those things in the pros as a rookie, and to be able to do that so quickly. I don't think Michael Vick played this well. I don't know if he even played that much his rookie year. So I think this is really an incredible thing that we're seeing, and really the future for this kid is brighter than ever, because he's getting some great, great lessons on the field right now, and he's passing all the tests. So if they can go ahead and win out this year and playoffs, it would be one incredible, incredible feat for that team, and for them.
Larry Weissman, before we let you go, how unique is his talent, Vince Young? Do you think this is the kind of guy that is going to be a Hall of Famer? And truly, they use the phrase as redefining the position. Is he?
Well, I think he's well on his way to doing that. I think every team is starting to recognize the value of a quarterback who can extend plays by the way he scans the field, the way he moves. I think over time you'll see Vince Young maybe take it upfield a little bit less and really look for receivers. You know, I'm a little loath to put anybody in the Hall of Fame after about, you know, nine starts, but the things that you see in this guy are the things, let's say, that you don't see in Eli Manning. As Tim was saying, players need to look to someone for confidence. They need to feel that this game is winnable, even when it doesn't look that way, and Vince Young gives you that and has certainly that intangible. He's won at every level, and I think the Titans deserve some credit too for letting him be the kind of player he is and not trying to shoehorn him into some tight loafer of an offense.
Tim Brown, one interesting statistic. We only got a minute here, but Tennessee was 0-for-8 on third down and 0-for-1 on fourth down against Jacksonville. So there's got to be something between the lines there that Vince is providing that's way beyond the statistics.
Well, you know, the players feed off each other, and what you're seeing now is you're seeing the defense feed off the offense, and the defense picked it up last week and got everything done, you know. So, but that's what happens when you get a team, one side of the team playing great, usually the other feed off of that, and you'll see the other side step it up and do something miraculous, like like the offense has been doing. And so that's what happened. What's happened with Tennessee right now? And if I'm a team playing Tennessee and I got to make it beat them to make it to the playoffs, I don't want to see them right now because I think they are playing on all cylinders and they're finding ways to win games, and that's what it's all about in this league, finding a way to win football games.
Well, thanks for finding a way to be on this show, both you and Larry Weissman. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Be well. We'll be right back with J.C. Pearson, Gary McCord, and Amy Mullins on Head Games on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline.